Thank you for downloading the Container Market Report from Coracle Online and GFI for November the 11th, 2011. This report will look at the derivative and physical markets. In today's fast-paced work environment, getting everyone in the same room for a meeting can be challenging, especially when they work in different locations. That's why at Coracle, we use GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix. It really is amazing. You can collaborate online by sharing your work while seeing colleagues face-to-face in high definition. The video quality is so clear and natural that it's like being in the same room. All you need is an internet connection and a webcam. It's so easy. With GoToMeeting with HD Faces, meetings are more personal, engaging and effective. And I want you to try GoToMeeting with HD Faces today. As a listener to this podcast, you can try it free for 30 days. Just visit gotomeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button and use the promo code PODCAST. We start with the paper market and the Shanghai Northwest Europe route, where both the spot index and the prompt months lost a good chunk of value over the past 7 days. This resulted in a further steepening of the already steep contango situation. Remember, contango means that the future price is more expensive than the prompt periods. To our surprise, we see several spread traders entering the market with the idea to sell prompt and buy the deferred periods, which is effectively selling cheap and buying expensive. Our intuition tells us that this should create opportunities for carriers. This allows them to take a profit on their short prompt positions, physical contracts, and hedge the future periods at a better rate. It's a strategy we think would be worthwhile considering. On the Shanghai US West Coast route, the Chinese trading community expects to see a big rise in the index in the coming weeks, and this resulted in the SSEFC curve being at a significant premium to the international markets. Given the fact that the index is coming off, we think it is more likely that the Chinese markets will go down rather than the international markets going up. Looking at the physical market for Shanghai Europe, and we note that the Chinese version of chess is otherwise known as Wei Kui, which literally means to surround or to encircle. Compared to international chess, Wei Kui has far fewer rules and is not a difficult game to learn. One of the main objectives of Wei Kui is to obtain more territory than your opponent, and as long as your territory is more than your opponent's, you win the game. A game can also end if one player surrenders, in which case the opponent will automatically win the game. There seem to be a few similarities between Wei Kui and the container industry at the moment. The larger carriers are in a war to gain market share through the deployment and ordering of larger vessels. According to some of our contacts in Asia this week, with carriers already making a significant loss every time they ship a container on the Asia-Europe route, they are continuing to undercut each other by offering lower rates in the market. As low as $475 per TEU if you can haggle like the Chinese for small spot volumes. Additionally, carriers are also at the mercy of the larger freight forwarders who continue to use their bargaining power to negotiate lower than spot market rates, as they know that vessels are running on below 85% utilisation levels at the moment. Recently, Nils Andersen, the CEO of Maersk Group, was quoted in Lloyd's List as saying, "We have a very sensible order book compared with the expected volume growth going forward, and we expect to keep all ships sailing." He added, "We hope rates will stabilise as the weaker competitors in the market decide to leave the industry, but that might still take some time." So it seems like the largest carrier is trying to obtain more territory than their opponents, and in the running to win the race to the bottom and until one of their opponents surrenders, then the current situation will only deteriorate further. With the Eurozone crisis, many industry participants have also cited demand to have stagnated. On the Trans-Pacific route, industry sources are citing that vessel utilisations are running at above 85% levels and the demand outlook appears to be steady. Despite the marginal rises in the index the past 2 weeks, it was merely a dead cat's bounce and rates are continuing to fall on the Asia-US West Coast trade lanes as ships are not sailing full. Carriers expect volumes to increase in December and have announced that they will be implementing a PSS in December, as well as a GRI extension from the 1st of January 2012. On the US East Coast routes, utilisation levels are now running at approximately 70%, as bookings seem to have fallen off a cliff. The fall in volumes on the US trade lanes are also reflective of the decline in air freight volumes. It's currently reporting season for Q3 results by the carriers, and so far we haven't seen any of them publish black figures. For now, the reaction to losing money is either ordering more and bigger vessels, e.g. Yangming, or doing nothing, e.g. most liners, as they have already ordered too many ships. Our humble opinion is that the industry needs a reform. So let's explain in some examples why the current situation is unsustainable. 1. Risk management. This is the second quarter in 2011 that Maersk has reported a loss on their liner business. It's not a great surprise, and this is more or less in line with the rest of the industry. What is a surprise is the attitude of Mr. Golding, the CEO of Maersk Liners. When Maersk had a record year in 2010, he was the biggest combatter of freight derivatives by comparing the derivatives industry to a casino. Even this year, when the liner business was losing money, he was telling the world, "We, as Maersk Line, have no need for the derivative market, and on a philosophical level, we think it is sending the wrong signals. It is the wrong direction for the industry." His attitude can probably be best explained by a Danish car driver refusing to buy winter tyres and openly telling his mates it is a waste of money. After all, the winters can be cold in Denmark, but he has not had a serious accident during the last 12 months. Bear in mind, the last time Maersk lost money was in 2009. Now imagine this Danish driver bringing his kids to school and the car does not brake properly during a freezing morning. By accident, he injured a few kids on the sidewalk. I think this driver has a lot to explain. Unfortunately, we haven't heard any explanations from Mr. Golding. Is he still thinking that applying risk management is the wrong direction for the industry? How will he make Maersk Line profitable in the near future? 2. Return on capital invested. There is too much debt in the world and no appetite to increase lending at the moment. Several countries are suffering from the consequences, and so are liner companies. For example, a liner company's debt in the market is currently best bid at 41.5 cents to the euro, giving an implied yield of 27.5%. Such a yield is in excess of the historic return on capital invested. Meanwhile, we see some problems on the horizon for heavily indebted liner companies. Asset prices are much lower than book value, and the assets cannot be sold. Hedging income requires margining, and not every carrier can afford to pay this. Laying up vessels, in some instances, costs more than continuing services, and some carriers cannot afford to lay up. We all agree that current rates are unsustainable, but, as John Maynard Keynes once famously quoted, markets can remain irrational longer than it can remain solvent. Given the very low spot rates, it might still make sense to hedge a percentage of the future exposure at a nice premium to today's spot market. 3. New service contracts. In the last Alpha Liner, it was reported that the traditional carriers had approximately 72% direct business with shippers on the Trans-Pacific trade lane and 38% of their business done through NVOCCs. Quite a lot of the business will trace the spot market, especially NVOCC business. However, there are still shippers in this world that honour their service contracts. These shippers are probably the cork that keeps the liner business afloat. However, every time new service contracts are negotiated, both parties will look at the spot market and last year's historic rates as a reference to find an acceptable level for next year's contract. Both the spot market and the one-year historic rates are much lower than the rates in Q1 2011. As a result, we fear that next year's service contracts will be concluded at a level lower than 2011. If you have the same fear for 2012, then it is worth pointing out that freight for 2012 can be hedged at a nice premium to today's spot market. What do you think? Why not leave a comment on shippingpodcasts.com? Thanks for listening.